was visiting a home over in Harlem. No, it wasn't really in Harlem, but I'm going to say that for the sake of the joke. No. Over in Harlem, he was visiting one of his parishioners, and this was a middle-aged woman. He goes to the door, he rings the doorbell, and there's no response. So he rings again, no response, and he goes around to see, and there was a radio on and a light on, and he thought, this is strange. So he decided to leave a little note on the person's door. Revelation 3, verse 20 came to mind, and he wrote a little note saying to her, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with them, and they with me." He thought this was an appropriate verse, and he put it on the mailbox and walked away. The following Sunday, he sees the woman in church, and she comes up to him and hands him a little note. And when he looked at the note, she had written another verse on her note. Genesis 3, verse 10. "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." Very terrible, right? Why, oh, why did you just say that from the pulpit? No. The next few weeks, I wanted to have an opportunity to talk with all of us about the Bible, about God's Word. The Bible is something that we base our entire faith on. It's the filter through which we decide what is of God and what isn't. And it's a pretty important thing to think about and to talk about. And so I'm going to go rogue. I'm going to go off lectionary a little bit and talk a little bit about Holy Scripture for the next few weeks and the power and impact that it has on our lives. And how it informs our decisions and how it can impact us personally and corporately. How many Bibles do you think you have in your house? You don't have to answer that. Think about it for a moment. I know that when I cleaned out my office at Midvermont Christian School when I finished up my tenure there this past June, I brought home way too many Bibles. I had a whole row of Bibles on my shelf there. Some of them I had never even opened. I just had them. Someone gave me Bibles. I'm like, I can't do it. You know, there are Bibles sitting there on the table that are free for the taking. They haven't disappeared yet. I can only assume you all have lots of Bibles in your house. This version and that version. And we in the United States have access to this anytime, all the time, anywhere we want it. And as they say, sometimes familiarity breeds contempt. And there's a story that I heard about someone who was heading over to Russia. And this was at a time when the Soviet Union was particularly closed off to Christianity. And they thought, this is a great opportunity to bring some Bibles to Russia. And so he wrote into an organization and said, "I'm going to Russia. Here's some money. Would you please send me some Bibles in Russian?" And the reply that this person got was, "I'm sorry, it's illegal to take Bibles into Russia. We can't supply you with them, so we recommend you don't take any." And then the following day, on the doorstep, there was a little brown paper package with Russian Bibles in it. Interesting, right? And so this gentleman says he kind of felt like James Bond. And then that 007 heading into the Soviet Union with Bibles. Got to give these to the people that are real Christians. So when he gets there, he brings the Bibles, gets them into the country. He goes to one of the churches there. They only allowed a few state churches. And he says that he knew there would be lots of spies in the church. So he was looking around trying to find someone that he thought would be a safe person to give the Bibles to. And he saw this guy who was in his 60s, and he says he had a radiant face. He looked like a Christian. What does a Christian look like? I don't know. Whatever. But after church, he followed him out to a very isolated spot and approached him with a Bible, pulls it out of his jacket pocket, and hands it to him. And he says that the man's face was just a picture when he saw the Bible. He pulled out a Bible from his jacket pocket, and it was just a New Testament. And he said it was completely threadbare. It had been read over and over and over again. It was probably 100 years old. Pages were missing. And when the guy saw that he had just been given a whole complete Bible in Russian language, he was so excited. He was simply overjoyed. And this person that went over there said that he didn't speak a word of Russian, but they were communicating in a special way at that time, and they just hugged each other there in the park, overjoyed for what God had done, what value that man had placed on Scripture. So, current bestseller, have you seen it? It's not a novel by Robert Ludlum or some other thing. It's the Bible. Every single week, the Bible is the bestseller. Every single week. They don't even include it on the list anymore because it would be boring. What's the bestseller this week? The Bible. You know? It's the Bible and then something else. 100 million copies are sold every year. 100 million. Think about that. And that's a lot of copies of the Bible. 100 million. The psalmist compares the Bible to gold. Precious gold. You know, some of you know that occasionally I like to pan for gold. And I will spend hours bent over in a stream trying to find a little tiny speck. Just a little speck. Probably would have been more profitable if I had taken out my Bible and read that for the hours that I spent panning for gold. You saw the church sign. Anybody see the sign this week? Yeah, your cell phone versus your Bible. So guilty right here, okay? If I would put my cell phone down and pick up my Bible for half the amount of time that I spend staring at this screen, life would be different, probably.
Get the app.
Get the app. Nice. There's a good idea. Jesus said, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. In other words, he says, material things do not satisfy. Even the best human relationships don't satisfy. There's always what you might call a spiritual hunger, which can only be satisfied by something spiritual. And Jesus says, that is the word that comes from God's mouth. And the primary way that God communicates to us is through this book, through the Bible. God has spoken. It is his divine revelation to us. I get asked a question fairly frequently in my line of work. And it's along the line of, if there's a God, why doesn't he show himself to us? You know, if there's a God, why is all this bad stuff happening in the world? If I had a nickel for every time someone asked me that question, it's still a hard question to answer. But the answer is that God has revealed himself. He is not idle. First of all, look at creation. Look around. You know, you're probably tired of hearing me say it, but go out at night and stand and look up at the stars. The other night there was no moon for whatever reason, maybe it hadn't come up yet, but it was just phenomenal. I was outside turning on the radio in my camper to keep the air away from my bees. And I happened to pause and just look up. Amazing. Look at creation. The very fact that we are here, the fact that there is something rather than nothing. The fact that the universe is so finely tuned and is so amazing. If the earth were just this much closer to the sun, we wouldn't be here. And the same, if we were just this much farther away, we wouldn't be here. The fact that there is a hunger in every human heart that searches after God is evidence that God is there. But ultimately, God has revealed himself in a person. How many times in Scripture did Jesus say, I and my Father are one? We read in Scripture, he, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation.
If we want to know who God is, we look at Jesus.
If we want to know who God is, we read his word, that he has an image in us. We only know about Jesus because of this book, right? We only know about Jesus because of the Bible. The New Testament is all about Jesus. And the Old Testament, if you look at it through the lens of who Jesus is also all about Jesus. We'll talk about that later. So, the VBS theme this year is all about can science and faith mix? And you think about science as the exploration of how God has revealed himself in creation. And that's in part why science is so amazing and so exciting. And theology is the exploration of how God has revealed himself in Christ in the Bible. Albert Einstein said this: a legitimate conflict between science and religion cannot exist. Religion without science is blind, and science without religion is lame. We need both. Science answers how and when, and the Bible answers who and why. Interesting coming from Albert Einstein. Should have brought a weed with me. All of the Bible is inspired by God. Paul puts it this way in 2 Timothy: all scripture is inspired by God. To put it simply, and it's an oversimplification, what the Bible claims to be the word of God. All scripture is inspired by God. It seems to be the word of God. If you've ever read it, when you read it, it has kind of a ring of truth to it. And that proves to be the word of God. You put it into practice, and you test it, and you find that this really is God, that God has spoken. Pope Francis wrote something, his first official document, translated the joy of the gospel. And he said, "We do not blindly seek God or wait for him to seek us first, for God has already spoken, and there is nothing further that we need to know which has not been revealed to us." Talking about Holy Scripture. All Scripture is God-breathed. That's what the word inspired means. God-breathed. God breathed it. What we have in Holy Scripture is God's Word. Well, you might say, well, did God write it? Did he have the pen and the ink and the parchment or the animal skin or whatever it was written down on? God used people. God used human authors. Over 1,600 years, there were at least 40 authors. There were kings. There were poor people, philosophers, fishermen, poets, statesmen, historians, doctors. They wrote all different types of literature, history, poetry, prophecy, letters. It is 100% penned by people. And 100% inspired by God. So think about it this way. One of my friends is Tim Beeble, Beeble Builders. And his company, his father's company, was the general contractor for building Cedar Hill, where my dad presently resides. Okay? Now, Tim was entirely responsible for every nail that was pounded in that place. Every screw, every piece of drywall, every plumbing fitting, all of that he was in charge of and responsible for. Did he personally drive every nail? Did he sweat every plumbing fitting? Did he nail down every shingle? No. But he was the architect behind it. He is what held it together and brought it into the state that it is. Okay? Most analogies that try to approach what God does fall short, but it's just something to think about, that there are so many different writers, but there is one architect, one inspiration behind it all, and that is God Himself. If you've ever tried to read the Bible, in particular the Old Testament, you might come across things and say, whoa, this is shocking. Or perhaps the gospel reading today, why did we read about a beheading in church, right? There are moral difficulties, there are historical difficulties, there's all kinds of stuff, and you say, well, how can this be inspired by God, right? It's kind of like a crossword puzzle in some ways. I remember when my dad was younger, when he would get the paper, you couldn't talk to him until the puzzles were done. You would have two sharpened pencils lined up on the table there, and he would sit there, and sometimes my mom would join in with him, and they would try to get to the end of it first and see if they came up with the same answers. Crossword puzzles are challenging, not my thing. I don't have the patience for it. But you start with the clues, right? And sometimes you come across one that you just can't answer. So do you rip up the puzzle and say, ah, I'm done? Or do you go on to the next one and start to fill in those clues and those answers and those gaps? And then those other ones start to give you the letters that you need to fill in the clue that you originally couldn't figure out. And sometimes it's like that with Holy Scripture. You need to have the perseverance to stick with it and to read it, even if you don't understand all of it. Pray and ask God by His Holy Spirit to help you understand. The Word of God is a living and breathing, active thing. It's not just like reading some document. It will change your life. If we will honestly sit down before we read and pray and ask God by His Spirit to reveal something to us that we need to know today, when we do it, I promise you, you will not be disappointed. Not be disappointed. So there's still things in the Bible that I struggle with. Just because I have this doesn't mean I understand it all. The more I know, the less I know sometimes. You know, sometimes things are like that in life. But I would encourage you to hold on and test it. Step out in faith and believe that it is inspired by God and wrestle with the difficulties that are there. Remember that Jesus is the interpretive key. If it doesn't fit with Him, it doesn't fit. We have to say, how are we going to interpret this? And we know that Christ is the supreme revelation of God. And if we want to know what God is like, He is like Jesus. So Scripture is 100% inspired. It informs my faith. It is the filter through which I have to put things when I test things that I hear or see or read or things that come at me. Paul goes on in 2 Timothy and further says, all Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true, to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. In other words, it's our authority for what we believe and how we live. Jesus summed it all up. God loves you. Love God. Love your neighbor. But then it's full of lots of practical stuff. Wisdom, advice, guidelines for how we live our lives. It's given us boundaries. Some people say, oh, it's a rule book. The last thing I need is more rules in my life. That'll just take away my freedom. If I follow this, I'll lose my freedom. But we actually need boundaries. Try building a building without a level. You'll come look at my goat house. That was built without a level. Okay? I can remember as a kid. Anybody ever play kick the can?
Yeah.
We used to play that till all hours of the night. at a friend's house over in Reading. And at one point, someone kept losing, and so they didn't like it, and they wanted to change the rules. They had a kind of a snit fit about it, as I recall, and they changed the rules, and the game fell apart after that. No one could agree on what, well, if they can change that rule, then I'm going to change it. I don't like this rule, I'm going to change that one. And then all of a sudden, it was no longer kick the can or anything that resembled it anymore. And it's good for us to have guidelines. It's good for us to have the plumb line that Amos talks about. True freedom comes when we know that God is in control and that there are actually boundaries. What do we know about kids that grow up without boundaries? Right? They might have fun for a little while, but things come apart pretty quickly. The boundaries that God gives us, he gives us out of love. Not because he's an almighty smiter. God didn't say you shall not murder because he wanted to ruin your fun murdering. He didn't say don't commit adultery because he's a spoilsport. He knows what we were created for. He knows why he created us and how he wants the order of all creation to be. And so he gives us his word. And he gives us Christ through his word. It's the word of God. God has spoken. So next week we're going to go a little bit deeper on how we arrive at what we have in the books in the Bible. We're going to hear testimony about how God's word has changed someone's life. So I invite you to try to come back and be here next week, because things are going to go from one week into the next. And today was just a simple foundational approach to Holy Scripture. We want to kind of address some of the hard questions that are out there about the Bible. And we're not going to try to shy away from them, but come right at them and see what God has to say to us. So, in the name of Christ.
Amen. Amen.